I'm actually, it's Brent said it's amazing how sometimes God works to bring things together. We've been working through images of the church in the New Testament. I'm going to read a passage that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that highlights the one we're looking at today. Paul writing to the church said, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." Denise already talked about that in her prayer. We are the temple of God. In the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote to them as well. Apparently, this was a pretty important image for him because he shared it with them. He said, "So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." Do I have 1 Peter next on there? I do. I'll read that one as well. Peter writes this: "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests." And it continues down in verse 9. It says, "But you're not like that. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." This image of temple, there's a lot of places we could go. For the sake of time, I will not go very far. The first thing we note about the temple of God in the Old Testament and the image of temple, is that the temple was the visible dwelling place of God. That's where God, to use the language of the Old Testament, that's where God lived. That's where people around could, they said, "Where is your God?" They pointed to the temple. And that was true not just in Israel, that was true in all of the nations. Like, they all had temples to their gods, and they thought that that's where their God was present. But when the New Testament writers write to the churches, they don't say the temple is a building that's centrally located. They say, "You are the temple. You are the living stones that form this place where God lives." Now, God's not bound by us, but there's a special sense of God living among us as the church. Which begs the question, when you think of the church, we say this all the time, but we still run into this habit, we often think of the building. That's not how it's used in Scripture at all. The building of the temple is used to identify the people who make up those stones that are locked together with Christ as the cornerstone. Without him, it all falls apart. We are the dwelling place of God. If we want people to see God, we don't rely on a building. We live together in such a way that God's presence is clear and they can see him. What else do we see about the temple? The temple is this place where the infinite reality of God and the finite, tangible world come together. The temple was this place where God, where, to use the phrase, heaven met earth, where the big, invisible reality of God met with the reality of humanity. In 2 Chronicles, where when they build the temple and they dedicate it to God, it actually describes the presence of God coming and filling this space. At the moment of the dedication, it says that the thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests couldn't continue their services because of the cloud, which that would drive priests crazy. God messing with what they wanted to get done. Man. But it says it's because the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. What's really fascinating is when you get to Revelation 21 and 22, where it talks about the presence of God coming down to earth, it's filled with temple imagery, where the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. And the whole earth becomes the temple of God. God's presence fills it all. In fact, if you go back to Genesis 2, people much smarter than I am have written books about how the creation story starts with all kinds of ancient Near Eastern temple imagery that God's presence filled the garden at the beginning. The church should be a place where heaven meets earth and where we are aware of God's presence among us, where the reality of an infinite God collides with the real physical day-to-day stuff of life together. And of course, if this building isn't the church, if we are the church as the temple, that doesn't mean it happens just when we're here, when we gather on Sunday mornings. That reality happens when small groups are together, when someone visits someone else to take them something that they need, when someone is delivering care that is needed. Like all these like physical, tangible ways that God's love is shown is where this infinite reality of God is showing up in the tangible finiteness of the world. Those things come together. The last thing I want to highlight is when that happens, the church as the temple doesn't mean it's pristine and perfect and wonderful and always impeccable. Like some among us who have grown up in church grew up trying to make everything in church kind of perfect. It had to be just right. And this isn't just going back into traditional stuff. Even sometimes we can get caught up with the music and stuff. Well, it's got to be just right and just perfect because we have to give our best to God. You know, and that's not entirely wrong, but it can be very, very dangerous when we think that somehow God's not in it if it messes up and things get dirty and things don't go as planned and things get spilled. And like, it just, the temple was a messy place. And I think we forget that unless we remind ourselves that that's where sacrifices happened. That's a messy thing. It took work to build it and to maintain it. And when our reality comes face to face with God's reality, and there's cleansing and confession and purification and things being restored to the way God wants, that's a messy, messy process. And rather than being afraid of the mess, we should be excited to lean into the mess because that is a part of God's work in the world. Another part of that thing where the mess and brokenness of the world comes face to face with God, you know, that's where sacrifice and love and justice and freedom and healing shows up. And it touches all aspects of human life and community life. So yes, there's worship and there's prayer and there's teaching and learning and debating. There's also serving. You know, one of the things that we don't do as much around here, but it's a part of our BIC history, is foot washing. Kind of a dirty, messy thing that says this is a part of who we are. It's not all clean and neat. And we don't do that largely because it feels awkward and weird. And how does that fit into stuff? But maybe the awkward and the weird and the hard is exactly what we need to embrace sometimes if we are going to be the temple, putting God on display among us. So three questions for us to take with us as we go. What are ways that we collectively make the reality of the living God who is love visible to the world around us. What are ways we're doing it already? Let's talk about them. Let's celebrate them. Let's remind ourselves of them, because reminding ourselves of them can encourage us to do it all the more. Second question, how have you seen or experienced the presence of the infinite God through the church? How have you seen and experienced God show up through the others who are part of the living stones that we're connected with? Again, talk about it, celebrate it, maybe even thank them for it. And the last one, how do you feel? Think honestly, how do you feel about the idea that the church, if it's operating as the temple of God, is messy? Is there stuff from your upbringing and past experience that has led you to think of the church this way, or maybe blocks you from thinking of the church this way? You know, we're like, it's church. We used to, maybe you did too. We had to dress in our Sunday best because it has to be just right. Is there stuff like that that maybe prevents you from embracing the messiness of being the temple of God? And what are the implications for us? What are some implications for us if we really embrace the reality of life's messiness within the church? Some things that I'm not going to try and answer, I'm going to invite you to wrestle with and talk with others about as we move through the week. I'm going to pray, and then before the music team comes, Wilford is going to come and share something. And yes, my sons are sitting there like, I can't believe his sermon was that short. But it is the way it is this morning. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are bringing us together through Christ, who is the cornerstone. God, may that reminder that who we are is because of our connection to Jesus be something that encourages us, that it doesn't fall to each one of us or any one of us to hold everything together, that you've got that taken care of, and that we can just enjoy being brought together to put you on display in this world and to each other. Thank you for the myriad of ways you're doing that, for those that we already have celebrated today who helped to do that to us and among us. God, may our imagination for what it looks like to be the place of your presence in this community, may it just capture us in such a way that as we go from this place, we would go excited to take that presence and display it in all the different ways and places that we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.